Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masechta Temura. The Torah Kedosha teaches us that if one has a carbon, an animal designated as a carbon, one may not substitute that animal to take the Kedusha of that animal to have it replaced with another animal. Of course, as the Mefarshim point out, we have learned many times, as we've learned the Kachim Masechtas, the concept of a pidyon. Pidyon actually means redemption. We have an animal that under certain circumstances they can be redeemed of its Kedusha, typically if it becomes a Balmum. But here we're not speaking about pidyon. Here we're talking about substitution. There's nothing wrong with the first animal. And that, the halach is, the Torah says, lo yachlifenev, lo yamarisoyim, one may not do so. But here we have a very interesting phenomena. The Torah says, v'mhamma yamarisoyim, you've done what you shouldn't have. The Torah says, v'hayahu smarasa yekaydish. The original animal retains its Kedusha, and the new animal will also be kaydish. Teaches us the Mishnah Hakam Amirim, everyone is able to do tamura. And even though Rashi describes how a tamura is done, where you take the first animal that's already kaidish, and you put the other animal, which is chulin, next to it, says Rashi, say to Mefarshim, it doesn't really need to be that way. And even if the two animals are not placed next to each other, the rules of tamura will apply. Echra ha-noshim, vechra ha-noshim, both men and women, loish adam rishoy lohamir, not that one may do tamura, el shahamim mumer, if he's done it, the tamura is valid, as we just discussed. There's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says that if you did a tamura, both animals are kaidish. So that the Mishnah needs to tell us that the tamura is effective and that the second animal becomes kaidish, we could understand why the Mishnah needs to tell us that. But the Mefarshim ask, the first animal of course is kaidish. Why would I think that it's not? That Rashi and the Rishonim have to point out that it retains its Kedusha. So I actually saw two approaches in the Mefarshim how to address this question. One approach that I saw, Sfas Emes says this, it's a very bechidish. Sfas Emes says that actually what happens when you do a Temura is that the Kedusha goes off the first animal for a moment and then it comes back on. Rav Chaim Meiser in the Achiezer doesn't understand. If the Torah says that it's Kaddish, what's Pshat that it leaves and comes back? So there's another interesting Pshat based on what the Chinuch says. The Chinuch is a Rishon. The Chinuch says that you have the following situation. You start with your first animal that was Kaddish, that is Kaddish, and now you have the second animal, and the second animal, because the Torah Kaddish says, V'hayuhu smarasu your Kaddish, also is Kaddish. Says the Chinuch, that the first animal has an extra share of Kedusha. It has an extra share of Kedusha. It has the Kedusha of the first, of it being a Kaddish, and it also has a new Kedusha. And that's what Rashi's saying. It's infused with a double portion of Kedusha, and if somebody does this for Seifik HaSaibayim, if he did it b'mezid, he's Chayiv Malkus. So the Mefarshim asks that when we have a Mishnah, the role of a Mishnah is not to tell us something that's explicit in the Torah. A pasuk in the Torah, we're expected to know. So ask Mefarshim, the din of Temura, as we quoted the pasuk at the beginning of our shiur today, are explicit psukim in the Torah. So what's the Mishnah telling us that we have, if you just learn a piece of Chumash, you wouldn't know? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is, as we're going to learn, we're going to discuss it extensively in tomorrow's shiur, that Temura is a bichidish. It's a lav shein by Maisa. It's a lav hanitik lasei. So these are all the types of lavin that normally you don't get malchus for. Yet by Temura, Mishnah says you do get malchus. That's why that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Another approach in the Achroinim is that Temura is considered a Temura only by Machshava. You didn't actually do it. You didn't say anything. You just thought it. It's enough to be considered a temura. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. And then there's a third pshat. The third pshat is based on the Rambam. Very interesting Rambam. The Rambam discusses the psychology of the Aveira of Tamura. Because what's bothering the Rambam is the question that bothers us all. This person wants to substitute. What's so terrible? What's so terrible? That Torah says he's over Aveira, he gets Malkus. So the Rambam says, because typically what happens? He says a person designates an animal for a carbon. He had to bring a carbon, he designated an animal. And then he starts looking at that animal. He says, you know, this is a very good animal. Why should I give such a good animal to Hegdish? I could give a more inferior animal to Hegdish. And that's why he wants to do the Tamura. The Torah, knowing that's human psychology, tells us, you know, if you're going to do that, Vayihu Smrasi Yekaidish. Both animals will be Kaidish. So now let's think about it. If the psychology of the Aveira of Tamura is as the Rambam described it, what will be the halacha if we have just the opposite situation? A person designated an animal for carbon, and he looks at the animal and says, no, this animal isn't good enough. I want to bring a better animal. So we follow the Rambam's psychology. He's great. He wants to bring in a better animal. Is that not going to be considered tamura? Of course it is. Because the Torah says, lo yachafenev lo yomrei, and the Torah doesn't give any conditions, a better animal, a weaker animal. That's what the Mishnah has to say. It makes no difference. If it's better or weaker, the din of tamura applies. So Tosfos asks, as we quoted the pasuk, "Leichlefenev laYomer Oisai," that there are two lavim involved in tamura. So why does our Mishnah ask Tosfos say, "Soifikas aboyim, get one set of malchus, you ought to get two set of malchus"? So the Brisker Rav immediately comments that there's a machloikus Rambam and Ramban throughout Shas. When the Torah says that you over, the Torah mentions more than one laugh for one Aveira. What does that mean? The Rambam's opinion is that even the Torah mentioned many lavim, unless the Gemara explicitly says so, you're only going to get one set of Malkus. The Ramban says you get more than one set of Malkus. So right away the Brisker Rav comments, Tosfos obviously agrees with the Ramban. Because if Tosfos agrees with the Rambam, that even though there are a number of Aveiras, but there's only one Malkus, the Kasha isn't the Kasha. So the first Tosfos says, is you're right, there's more than one set of Malkus. There's one more than one set of Malkus. Just the mission, the purpose of our mission is not to tell us how many set of Malkus. The purpose of our mission is to tell us that you get Malkus. That's how the first Teretz. Second Teretz of Tosfos is no. Layach lifenev layomer, so I speak to two different situations. Layach lifenev means that when I take your carbon and I attempt to do a tamura, layomer, so I speak to when I take my own carbon, my own animal, and attempt to do a tamura. Leichlefenev layomer, so he's speaking to two different situations. So there's no two sets of Malkus. So Poshapshat, how do we understand what Tosfos is saying? Poshapshat, Tosfos is saying, is that these are two different Aveiras. And it's very relevant. What do I mean? Let's say somebody's attempting to do a tamura on his own carbon. And we give him Hasroah for Leichlefenev, he wouldn't get Malkus. Or vice versa. Because these are two different Aveiras, which each has its own separate lav. There's no tumur by shutfus at all. Says the Brisk Rav, that may not necessarily be pshat in Tosfos. It could be that Tosfos is saying that not that lo yachlifenev lo yomer esai represents two separate aveiras, two separate situations. The Torah is just saying that tumur applies in all scenarios. But in every scenario, you'll be over both malchus. The Mashah says a different teretz. It's very connected to what we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem in tomorrow's shir. The Gemara says that Tamur is a lav in the Tikla Sei. Why is the lav in the Tikla Sei? Because lo yachlifenu, v'lo yomer isai, don't do it. V'mhamer yomer isai, v'ayuhu smirasa yekaidish. So says the Masha, the Gemara makes this point, a lav in the Tikla Sei, normally you don't get Malkus. So let's understand this situation, says the Mashah. You have two lavim, lo yachlifenev lo yamir, and the nitika say, v'mhamer yamir, v'ahoyu smurasu yekaidish. So one lav is cancelled out from Malkus, because it's a lav in nitika say. So you're only left with one lav to get Malkus for. Ask the Gemara, hagu fakasha. We have a difficult. Amrit hakam amirim, l'chatchila. Our Mishnah says that everybody could do a tamura. And then, immediately after, it says, d'yevet. So the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand the Gemara's question. Rashi learns the Gemara's question very simple. Rashi says that the wording of the Mishnah of Hakel Mamirim means that you're allowed to do a Temura L'chatchila. And we know that that's not true. Tosfos doesn't agree. Because Tosfos says that we learned together a Gemara Masech Techulin that says that even if a Mishnah uses the wording Hakel, it can mean B'diyevet. So that's why Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi's approach. Just to say why Rashi is comfortable with his approach, says the Beis Halevi, because when do we know that Hakel mean even B'diyevet? Only we learn after we learn this Gemara. That's how the Gemara Masechta Chula knows it. Right, at the beginning of Masechta. Until then we don't know it, so that's why Rashi is comfortable with his approach. Tosfos says, the Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha is as follows. The Mishnah says clearly at the end of the Mishnah, Loisha Adam Mishor Lohamir, Elishim Heimim Mumer. So that clearly indicates that L'chatchili Nala Rabbi Meimer. So why did the Mishnah say Hakel Mamirim? What's the Mishnah trying to say? Isn't the Mishnah trying to say that Yalada L'chatchili do Tumura? Which is impossible to understand. How come Rashi doesn't learn like Tosfos? So Rekiv Eger and other Achronim say, because Rashi is going to say that the end of the Mishnah doesn't bother him. Because as I just said, Malkus on Temura represents a Chiddush. It's a Lav Sheva Maisa. It's a Lav Nitik Lase. So the end of the Mishnah, in Rashi's opinion, is very necessary. And therefore, according to Rashi, the question is, Hakel Mamirim seems to mean that you could do it L'chatchila. We know that you can't. Ask the Gemara, the Tisbara, how could you even have a Havamina that Hakel Mamirim means L'chatchila? Add the Kashlach Masnissen, says the Gemara, you have difficulty, won't be the Mishnah. Tikshlach Kra. The Pasuk itself tells us, L'yek Lifano, V'lo Yamra Yisai. So we can never assume that it means L'chatchila. So what does these words mean? Elamar of Yehuda, what it means to say, Halchton, Hakel Matfisi B'tmura, that if somebody did a Tmura, not that he should have, not that he's allowed to, if he did it, Shem Hamer Mamer, it's effective, V'sayfek Sabon. So the Mishnah began with the word Hakel. Ask them where Hakel is Suyamai, what does it come to add that this other individual could do a Tmura? Answers the Gemara Lasuy Yairish. It's coming to tell us that a Yairish, if somebody's father passed away, and that person yarshin the carbon, he also, his tamura is an effective tamura, and says the Gemara, like Rabbi Yehuda, which is not like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Tanan, as the Tanya, as we learned in Abraisa, Yairish Soimich Yairish Meimer, Divere Meir, according to Meir, Yairish could do smicha if he's bringing his father's carbon. A Yairish could do tamura if he's bringing his father's carbon. Yudaimir, Yairish Eina Soimich, Yairish Eina Meimer. So to help us understand this Gemara, firstly we have to say one simple vart, that even though the halacha is when you bring a carbon, you're supposed to do smicha, that's only when smicha is an option. When smicha is not an option, then the carbon is kosher without smicha. So if a Yerush is not supposed to do smicha, so Yerush ain't a smicha, he doesn't do the smicha, and the carbon is still kosher. So to understand the machlokes from Meir Yehuda, the Mefarshim say as follows. Certainly in a situation that if somebody's father designated an animal, and not only did he designate the animal, but he actually did smicha, and then he passed away, everybody will agree that the Yorish doesn't do smicha. The other side is, let's say the father was obligated to bring a carbon, and before he passed away, he never even designated an animal, and the Yorish designates the animal, everybody will agree that that Yorish does smicha. The question is, this is the machlokes between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, where the father designated an animal, never did anything with the animal, and before he could do anything, passed away, and here we have a machlokes Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, will the Yorish do smicha, or will the Yorish not do smicha? What is the basis of Rameh's opinion that the Yorish does smicha? So the Rishonim have two approaches, and there are a lot of nafkaminas lahalocha. One is that the Yorish brought karadavur, the son takes the place of his father. And the other approach is that the halocha is that if somebody's father or whoever he's inheriting passes away, so now he has the job of bringing the carbon, so he too has a kapara from that carbon, So since he too has a kapara from that carbon, the halacha will be that he should do smicha because it's his carbon. And this is nafkamina for many pshatim, for many nafkaminas. There's one question that the Mefarshim discuss, Reb Chaim Moser discusses the situation of Achiezer. What happens if the Yorush is not a son? Somebody passed away, he didn't have any sons. The Yorush is a different relative. What will Reb Meir hold then? Does that different relative do smicha or not? If we say that whoever's bringing the carbon is getting a kapara, and therefore he should do smicha, so it doesn't make a difference who the relative is. If we say because a son assumes his father's position, it's only the son, not anyone else. Or, another very important question. The halacha is, and we're going to still speak about this hopefully in today's shir, a woman doesn't do smicha. If a woman brings a carbon, she doesn't do smicha. So there are two situations that we should talk about. What happens if a woman designated a carbon, a mother designated a carbon, and she passed away, and her son is now bringing the carbon? So is smicha done or not? If we say because the son is taking over his mother's place, so they shouldn't do smicha. The mother wouldn't have done smicha. He doesn't have to do smicha. If we say because the son is having a kapara, then when a boy brings a carbon, he has to do smicha. What about vice versa? The father died and he only left daughters. So will that daughter have to do smicha? If we say she's taking her father's place, so she has to do smicha. Her father would have. If we're saying that she has an obligation because she's getting kapara, women don't do smicha. Another situation. What will be the halacha? The Sfasemis and the Briskarov discussed the situation. What happens if a father left more than one son? He left a number of Yarshim. So is smicha done? Is smicha not done? Is one smicha done on behalf of all the Yarshim? Sfasemis says that when there's more than one son, there's no smicha done. Briskarov says when there's more than one son does the smicha for all of the other brothers. So now the Gemara connects these two situations. Says the Gemara, my comment to Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Yorush ain't a soimich, the Yorush ain't a memer? Because, says the Gemara, Yal of Tchilas Hegdish Mesoif Hegdish. Tmura is at the beginning of making the animal Hegdish. Smich is at the end. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Mas Soif Hegdish, which is right before the carbon is actually brought, Daloch is Yorush ain't a soimich. After Tchilas Hegdish, where you're making the Hegdish, Yorush and a Meim. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason a Yorush doesn't do Tmura, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, because a Yorush doesn't do Smicha. Ask the Gemara, the Smicha Gufa Menola, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that a Yorush doesn't do Smicha? Answers the Gemara, Tlas Karboniksev. Because the Torah used the words Karboni three times to teach us, Chad Karboni V'loi Karboni V'Kachavim, want to teach us that the carbon of an Akum, there is no smicha. So let's go slow here too. The halacha is that an akum, as we're going to see explicitly on Amud Beis and in tomorrow's shir, can bring a carbon. But an akum doesn't do smicha. The Rishonim gives three reasons why an akum doesn't do smicha. One reason is because the Torah says b'nei Yisrael v'loy akum by smicha. Another reason is because smicha is done in the Azara, and akum may not enter the Azara. And a third pshat is because smicha is part of the vidui, kapara process, which doesn't apply to akum. Although, there's a very interesting Miches Chinuch. Miches Chinuch says as follows. Let's say we have a situation. We'll give a simple example. A woman bringing a carbon. So we just said the Torah says women don't do smicha. So the halacha is not just that women don't do smicha, they're not obligated to do smicha. If you're not obligated to do smicha, you're not allowed to do smicha. Why? Because smicha means that you're working with the animal, and you're not allowed to do that with an animal that's kachim. So Miches Chinuch discusses, why would be the halacha if an akum brings a carbon? He's certainly not obligated to do smicha, but he wants to do smicha. May he or may he not? Says the Miches Chinuch a very nice word. The aveira of doing avoida with a carbon that's kachim wasn't set to Akum. It was only set to Yisrael. So what's your problem that I'm putting my hands on an animal that I'm not allowed to? That rule isn't by Akum. So if an Akum wants to do smicha, he may. So ask Tosfos the obvious question. If an Akum isn't obligated to do smicha, why does the Mishnah have to, why does the Brayis have to tell us, the Pasuk have to tell us that you don't do smicha? There's no smicha by Akum. Kabane, of course there's no smicha by Akum. We just gave the reason. So Tosfos has a very nice pshat. We would think what the Torah is telling us is that when Akum brings a carbon, he shouldn't do smicha, but the Kohen, who's doing the avoid on behalf of that carbon, he should do the smicha on behalf of the Akum. Teaches us the pasuk karbon avloy karbon akum, that the carbon of an akum is totally excluded from smicha. Furthermore, v'chad karbon, the next karbon avloy karbon chaveroy, you can't do smicha for someone else. You can't do smicha. You have to do smicha on your own carbon. And as the Rishonim, the Shita makes this point, even though the halacha is ein shlichus l'smicha, that you can't even appoint a shliach for smicha. So if you can't appoint a shliach, certainly I can't do smicha on your carbon. Says the Shita, the only reason we know that halacha, we have a pasuk to learn that, is once we have halacha, karbonei v'loi karbon chaveroi, then the Gemara takes a step further. Not only can't I do smicha on your behalf without your designating me, but even if you designated me as a shliach, can't do it. V'chad v'loi karbon aviv. This is the teaches that a yerush doesn't do smicha. Ask the Gemara, ula remeya. However, according to the opinion of Remeya, that we said he holds yerush samach, but then we just say karbonei three times, answers the Gemara. He's going to say that the third time the Torah says that karbonei is to teach us a different halacha altogether. Which comes to teach us that if a number of people brought a carbon together as shutfim, as partners, they have to do smicha. All of them have to do smicha. Machlaikis harishayim, but all rishayim, I should say it this way. All Rishonim agree that they shouldn't all do smicha at the same time. They should do smicha one after the other. The Machlokes is as to why. From the Rambam, it seems that the reason smicha should not be done all at the same time, because there's only a certain amount of space on the animal's head where you could do smicha. So there isn't enough room for all of their hands. That means, according to the Rambam, if you'll have a large animal that you could put the hands of more than one person on, you could do a number of people at the same time. The Radvaz seems to learn that no, the din of smicha is one smicha at a time. But we look at this pasuk, we have a very interesting situation here. Karbonei v'loi karbon akum. Karbonei v'loi karbon chaveroi are exclusions. There's no smicha by akum. There's no smicha by chaveroi. But now, Remei is using the word karbonei not to exclude, but it's using the word karbonei to include. Isn't that just the opposite of what we've done with the word karbonei? Is it an exclusion word or is it an inclusion word? So Tosfos seems to learn that I don't have anything to exclude. So if I don't have anything to exclude, I'm going to include. That's how Tosfos seems to learn. Sfasem says it is an exclusion. You know what the exclusion is? We're saying you could do smich for yourself, and even though you and I are partners, I could only do smich for me, not for you. So that is remains an exclusion. Rabbi Yehuda. Now ask the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have a pasuk to teach us the halach of shutfim. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda indeed holds Bal Chayvim Smicha Lesley. He holds that if an animal is brought with shutfis, there is no Chiyuv Smicha. My Tama, why? The Lamiach carbon the two. So Rashi here explains that what does this mean? That according to Rav Yehuda, indeed, if a carbon is brought by a number of partners, there's no Smicha. Rashi and Erechin learns the Gemara differently. Rashi says in Erechin that what Rav Yehuda means to say is that if a number of people bring a carbon together, one shutif to make smicha on behalf of everyone, not each one doing his own smicha. That's one way of learning. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining the Gemara is as follows. Lailam Islay Karbon Avichavim, the Lailam Islay. Rabbi Yehuda will agree that when an animal is brought, a carbon is brought with shutfis, all of the shutfim should make smicha. But now, how is he going to get to that? Answers the Gemara. The Karbon Avichavim, Karbon Chaveri Mechat Kro Nafka. He, unlike Rameyer, is going to say that we can learn the rule of karbon chaverim and karbon akum from one pasuk, the yat lechad lebal chayvim l'smicha. So the way the Gemara is learning now is the machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is very simple. Could we learn the rule of karbon chaverim and karbon akum from one pasuk, or do they need two separate pasukim? Remei is going to hold that you need separate pasukim. So one is karbon chaverim, one is karbon akum, and one is l'rabbis bal chayvim. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say Chaveroi and Akum is one, Aviv is two, and Chayvrim is three. What is the Machlokes remain, Rabbi Yehuda? So Yehuda's opinion is fairly simple to understand. Yehuda's opinion is, you can't do smicha for someone else. That's what the Torah is saying. So it doesn't make a difference if someone else is chaveroi, another Jew, or if someone else is akum. You can't do smicha for another person. Yehuda's position is very easy to understand. What's Rabbi Meir's opinion? That we need separate psukim for akum and chaveroi, a separate pasuk for chaveroi, and a separate pasuk for akum. So Mefarshim explained, because according to Rabbi Meir, you can't learn the din of akum from chaveroi, or vice versa. Why not? Say to Mefarshim, beautiful pshat. Every one of these people have a mile and a chasarin. An akum, as we explained earlier in our shir, can never do smicha himself. On the other hand, he's not mechuyev in smicha. Chaveroi can do smicha himself, but he's obligated to do smicha. So since the characteristics of akum and chaveroi are so different, says Rami, you can't learn them from the same pasuk. Ask the Gemara. So now we've understood Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is very clear. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a Yairish doesn't do smicha, and if he doesn't do smicha, he doesn't do tamura either. Remeya, dama Yairish meima mai tama. So Taisus right away asks the Kasha, what's the Gemara's question? What's the whole basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Because he doesn't do smicha, that's why he doesn't do tamura. But if Remeya holds that a Yairish does smicha, so obviously he does tamura. What's the Gemara's Kasha? So Taisus has a very nice teretz. He says, if you think about it, what Rabbi Yehuda says makes a lot of sense. Kabane v'loy karban aviv. So where did Rami get to the conclusion that a Yarush does do smicha? Maybe a Yarush shouldn't do smicha, and therefore he won't do tamur either. So Rami wants to know from where Rami takes his opinion. That's how Taisus learns. Chaim Oizer and Achiezer says a different pshat. Rami, the Gemara is saying, yes, a Yarush does smicha. But just because a Yarush does smicha, that doesn't tell us yet that he has enough of an ownership in this carbon that he should be allowed to do, that his tamura should be effective. And therefore, ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, Yarush meimer maitama. Amlochi responds, the Torah says, imham yomer, the double wording, l'rabbis ha-yarush, the yalef. So now that we've learned, and the way Tosfos learns the Gemara is very gishmak, now that we learned that he does tamura, which is the beginning of the Hegdish, we learned the halacha of smicha from that. Yal soif Hegdish mitchilas Hegdish. Ma tchilas Hegdish yorish meimer, a soif Hegdish yorish semeich. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a yorish doesn't do tamura. Rabbi Yehuda, hai v'hami yomer, mai uvedlei. What does he do with that pasuk? Answer the Gemara, the rabbis is isha. To teach us that a woman is also able to do tamura. Ukritanya, as the Brisa teaches us. L'fishikala inyin kuloi. If we learn the parasha of Tamura, we see that it's only said in Lashon Zachar, as the Torah says, so we would think that the parasha of Tamura was only said to women, to men. Ishvanayin, how do we know that it also applies to women as well? Tamaloymer, Vimhamayomer, Larabbas is Isha. Asked the Gemara Rameya, that he used Hamayomer to teach us a Yairish, Isha Menole. Where will he indeed know that an Isha's Tamura is also a Tamura? Answer the Gemara, Nafklaim mi Ve'im, from the extra Vav of the word Ve'im. Yehuda, Ve'im Loidarsh. Comments the Gemara. Ben Rameya, Ben Yehuda, both of them agree, Tama, the Rabbi Krali Isha. Only because the Torah has clearly indicated that an Isha is included, is the halacha that an Isha is Mechuyiv. The Isha Tamura is a Tamura. Hallo Rabbi Kra. Had we not had such a pasuk, Havamina, that if a woman does Tamura, Kiava Tamura Lo Lakim. Machlok is to show them how to understand this line. Some say that everybody agrees that a woman's Tamura is a Tamura. The focus of the Gemara is only on the Malkus that a woman would get for doing a Tamura. Others say that the Gemara means to say, maybe her whole Tamura is a meaningless act. Ask the Gemara, how can we have a Havamina that a woman's tamura should not be a valid tamura? Rabbi Yehuda Merav, the Kain Tana de Berav Yishmo, the pasuk says, Isha Isha Kiyas Mikol Chatas Adam. That pasuk serves as a basis to teach us that Hishva Kosa Isha Lishla Kol Anshim B'Torah. So they're exactly the same. Why would we think that a woman is excluded? Answer the Gemara Itzrich. We need a pasuk to teach us that a woman is included in the parasha tamura. Because Ma'at Taima, we might have thought, Hanimili, when are men and women treated the same regarding an Aveira, Onish Teshuvah Ben B'Yoch B'Tzibur? Only by an Aveira that is in all situations an Aveira. Aval Hocha. But when we speak about Tamura, Kivan the Onish Enish Shavah B'Kol, since Tamura is not applicable in all situations, the Tanan, as the Mishnah will teach us later in our Masechta, Ein Atzibur, a carbon Tzibur, or a carbon Shutfim, if Shutfim bring a carbon, Oysa Tamura, there is no din of Tamura by a carbon Tzibur, there is no din of Tamura by a carbon Shutfim, we will think, Isha Nami Ki Avda, so a woman is also excluded, because we see there are exclusions to Tamura, and maybe a woman, especially as the Mepharshim say, since we see that the Torah mentions the entire parasha of Tamura only Belashon Zohar, so maybe she's excluded, and that's why we need to teach us that she's not. Ask the Gemara, could a cotton do a Tamura? Ask the Mahechi Dami, what is the case that you're discussing? Ask the Gemara to Rabbi Bechama. If we're talking about a child that isn't able to make another Leite Bailach, there's no question. The Kivan the Dush Lay Agdish, hence, since he doesn't have the ability to make a carbon, a Mura Mamer, he certainly can't make a Tamura. So the Mepharshim asks, if he can't make a carbon, so where's the Tamura? That we should even, what's the Kasha? Answer the Mepharshim. It's talking about a situation where he's making tamura on someone else's carbon, which we learned at the beginning of our shir, lo yachlifena, that that's a valid tamura. El kima by lo, where's the question? As we discussed at the beginning of Masecht Erchin, that the Torah teaches us that a child, even though he's not yet bar mitzvah, she's not yet bas mitzvah, commit his nether when he's a mufla samachlish, as we're about to learn, is a valid nether. Mi Amrina, do we say, Kim Damar Mar Ish? The passage that introduces the parashah of the Dorm begins with the word Ish. So, Matam Alami, why did the Torah also have to say, Kiyafli Neder? L'Rabbis Mufla Somachli Ish. That a child is a Mufla Somachli Ish. And the Machloikas Rishonim, who is a Mufla Somachli Ish? Most Rishonim learn, a boy when he's 12 years old, a year before his Bar Mitzvah, a girl when she's 11 years old, a year before Har Bar Mitzvah, are considered a Mufla Samachlish. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that we work backwards. Because we know that a boy is not just Bar Mitzvah when he's 13 years old. He has to be 13 years old and bring two Saris. And a girl has to be 12 years old, which they Saris. So we know whenever they become 13 with two Saris by a boy, we go back a year from that date. Or by a girl, we go back a year from when she's 12 years old with two Saris. And that's when they become Mufla Samachlish. So since we know that these children, the Kedusha, make the Kedusha Magdish, since they have the ability to make something Hegdish, is the Aloch in Muri Namim Meimri, they have the ability to make a Tamura. A Dilma, Kivin de la Bar Anshin Hu, since at this point they don't have a Chi of Anshin, Le Mitzvahs. They don't have the ability to make a Tamura. So it's a very interesting Shaila, in the Shaila Sechuvas Rav Paulim. It discusses a very interesting situation. There was a child, a Mufla Samachlish, 12-year-old boy, who was not well. His father comes home with some medicine. And he tells the child, take the medicine. And we know children don't like to take medicines. And here we have a child that's a Mufla Samachlish, and he expresses, I'm making a nether that I'm not taking this medicine. And we just learned our Gemara, that the nether of a Mufla Samachlish is a nether. So what would we all say? So the father sits down and talks intelligently with his child and explains to him, I'm asking you to take the medicine because this is what's going to make you better. The child hearing this says, you know, you're right. But now we have a problem. He made a nether. So the Shaul Shuvas Rav Paulim says a bichidish. He says the Torah was mechadish that a child can make a nether. But the Torah was never mechadish that the din of HaTorah's Nedarim applies to children. And therefore, a Mufla Samachlish is worse off than an adult. His nether is a nether, but there's no parasha HaTorah's Nedarim. The Chassam Sofer, others disagree, and they say if there's a parasha of Nedarim, there has to be a parasha HaTorah's Nedarim. Continues the Gemara. imtem tzloima cotton of a tamura, and if we're going to suggest that the tamura of a cotton hamufla somach lish is a valid tamura, darasul klal anshim, he's going to be an adult, and therefore his acts are considered valid acts, and therefore I saw that the har tzvi says a very big chiddush. Why be the halacha? He speaks about this situation. We know the Torah, we learned Masechet Chulin together. A child, the Torah speaks about Shluach HaKeir. L'sikach ha'im al abonim. Shalach t'shach ha'im, v'sabonim t'kach lach. What happens if a child, while he was a child, did the Averi, took the wrong bird, and then he becomes a gadol? So should he correct what he did after he became a gadol? Do we say that the act of a child is entirely not an Averi, so there's nothing to correct? Or do we say that since he's also the klal onshim, our Gemara is saying that he will be chayiv one day, so it's already considered an aveira now. So maybe by a child, since he's going to be in the parish of tamurim, that's why his tamur is an effective tamur when he's a mufla samach lish. The question, says the Gemara, is oy v'kachavim ash yomer, can a goy make a tamura? Mi amrit nide dushi magdish. Since goyim have the ability to make a carbon, the tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, the Pasuk says, Ish, Ish. The Pasuk that introduces the din of Kabbonis begins the words Ish, Ish. Ma tam aloyme Ish, Ish. L'rabbis, oivt kecham shenoydrim v'nedarim v'nedavis k'Yisrael. That a akum can bring a carbon. And there's a machloikas rishonim. If an akum pledged to bring a carbon, must he fulfill that pledge? He didn't designate the animal. Does he have an obligation to fulfill the pledge? Some Rishonim say no, there's no din about Yachal by Rakum. Others say that since we've learned so many times in Masechet Erechin specifically, Amiroso L'Gvoya K'Mesiroso L'Hegit, so the moment that he obligated himself to bring a carbon, it's a Kenyan. And Kenyanim do apply by Akum. So since he could bring a carbon, perhaps Imuri Nami Memer, he has the ability to do a Tumura. Oidoma, we could argue, Kivin Delay Osul Kal Anshim, there's never going to be Malkus by an Akum for Tamura. Because there is no Malkus. Ki over Tamura, like Kotcha, the Tamura is meaningless. Omarova, Toshma, the Tanya. Kotcha over the Kachavim. If an Akum designated an animal as a carbon, Loi Nenim, we're not allowed to have a Noh from that animal. But if somebody did have a Noh, we know normally if you have a Noh from Kotchim, it's called Mila Behegdish. There is no Mila by an Akum. And there is no dinner pigle. That means when you brought the carbon, you had a mind to eat the carbon in the wrong time, in the wrong place. Nicer, if you left the carbon past the prescribed time, the tame, and the ain oisim tamura. The Brisa says, according to Reb Shimon, there is no din of tamura by an akum. Vein malim nesachim. Way most Rishonim explain is as follows. Certainly, there's a concept of a carbon nesachim. We learned in Masechta Menachos. You can bring a carbon which is purely nesachim. An Akum can't bring that kind of carbon. The question is, if an Akum brings a carbon oila, and with a carbon oila, we know we have to accompany it with nesachim. So the machlokes Rishonim had to understand what this means. Does this mean that the Akum doesn't bring the nesachim at all? And we, Hegdish, have to provide for those nesachim? Or does it mean that the Akum can bring the nesachim? And if he brings it, great. If not, we have to supply them. Av kabanatan nesachim, divrei Reb Shimon. Om Reb Yossi says to Reb Yossi to Reb Shimon, I disagree. But mekura mani roi lahachmer, I hold that all these rules, mila, pigel, nicer, tamei, do apply by carbon akum. However, the medvam amurim, when was this said? The kachim is beach. We know there are two types of kachim. Something that has a kedushas haguf, kachim is beach. Says the Gemara of Shimon says, that kachim is beach, I say that the kachim of Akum, and we'll speak about this more in tomorrow's shiur, don't have a din of Me'ila. Abba kachim bet kabayis, of an Akum, says Rav Shimon, me'alim ben. I agree that there is Me'ila. There are others that say that this last phrase wasn't said by Rav Shimon, it was said by Rav Yossi. That even though Rav Yossi is taking such a strong position regarding Akum, that's only by Me'ila, he'll agree that it only implies by Kachim by the Kabayis, not by Kachim Mizbeach. But the Gemara comes to its punchline. K'tanimiyah, ain't oisim tamura. Rav Shimon clearly says that Akum doesn't make Tamura. So what's Rabbi Mechamas Kasha? What's Yishayla? Isn't the Brisa very clear? Answers the Gemara. Certainly says Rami Bechama, if an Akum designated an animal for carbon, for his own use, there is no din of Tamura. Ki Kamen Boile, when is there a question? Ki the Hegdish Ovik Chavim, when an Akum designated animal, Umiskapa Bisrael, on behalf of Israel, Basa Magdish is leaning, or Basa Makapa is leaning? Do we go Basa the Magdish, the Akum, and we just finished saying that Akum ain't Oysa Tamura? Or do we go Basa Makapa, the Israel, and he is in the parish of Tamura? So the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, and this is the way the Ravid learns the Gemara, that the situation is as follows that we're discussing. An Akum designated an animal as a carbon on behalf of the Yisrael. The Akum certainly can't make a Tamura, because the Akum is not in the parasha of Tamura. And the Gemara's question is that since he designated this animal on behalf of Yisrael, can that Yisrael, who the animal, the carbon was designated for, can he do a Tamura? That's the Pashto Pshat. That's why we're going to learn the Gemara. The Rambam learns a different Pshat. The Rambam says Pshat in the Gemara is like this. An Akum can't make a Tamura on his own carbon. The Gemara's question is, if an Akum designated a carbon on behalf of Yisrael, so the Akum isn't bringing this carbon on his own behalf, he's bringing the carbon on behalf of the Yisrael, maybe when Rav Shimon said that Akum ain't oisin Tamura, is only in Karbonos that are for him. But a carbon that he's bringing on behalf of Yisrael, maybe he can do Tamura, and that's where we're going to stop with this question to be answered.